Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He joins us each and every Thursday. You hear him every single week during the Chiefs broadcast with Mitch Holthus and Josh Klingler. And it's brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. And brought to you by Flight. Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. We were talking some college football, Dane, and how Indiana's quarterback is the Heisman favorite right now. I was looking. I didn't realize until about 30 seconds ago, your Hawkeyes have the Heisman favorite coming to town.
Yeah, we got our hands full, especially I've been surprised with my Hawkeye defense, and maybe I've been spoiled because the defense is really what's been leading the Hawkeyes for, the last decade, I think. Yeah. Offense has kind of sputtered here and there, and I was at the game last week on the field against Rutgers back in Jersey, and I was a little surprised at the first half, how we gave up 21 points, some big plays, defense didn't look like I've become accustomed to seeing. So hopefully that was a wake-up call for the defense because they're going to have their hands full against Indiana. I was surprised last week. I think everyone knew Indiana was a good football team, a really good football team, but Brett Bielema, my former teammate and classmate, didn't have his Illinois guys ready, and Indiana looked really good. So all guys going to have their hands full, but I'm still confident.
When you look at what we've got this weekend, I'm going to ask you about Xavier Worthy and some of these other guys specifically in a minute, Danan. But is the deep passing game back? For two straight years, we've been asking whether or not they can develop it again. Tyquan Thornton is the most targeted deep receiver in the NFL, and Patrick Mahomes has the second most EPA efficiency on deep throws this year. Do we think that it's here to stay?
I think so. I think Patrick addressed it, and I thought it was well spoken in regards to the confidence and the correlation between the confidence of protection and the willingness to take what's downfield. And I've always been a strong advocate, and maybe this is the part of me as a former wide receiver. I've said it during the broadcast. The main thing I always wanted at the college level, I didn't play wide receiver in high school, but at the college level and at the pro level, I wasn't a burner. I wasn't going to pull past anybody, but I always wanted the quarterbacks to have the confidence in the ball will either be incomplete, but it won't be intercepted. Like, just if you feel like throwing it up to me or if you want to give me a chance on 50-50 balls, just know that it's not going to be intercepted. And I feel like Patrick has garnered enough confidence with Tyquan Thornton especially that he's willing to give him a chance. I mean, to go to him back-to-back plays like he did against the Giants, if there's no other example of confidence, that's one. I mean, to do it in that fashion, in those circumstances, tells you about the confidence that he has in Tyquan. And I like that component of our offense. I mean, if we're not going to have big hitting plays in the run game, we got to figure out, and I've said this from the offseason, we had to figure out how to get chunk plays offensively. And if that's going to be by way of through the air, then I'm all for it.
Xavier Worthy obviously can change some things for them on Sunday. He was a full participant yesterday. I know we all thought maybe he was going to play last week, but now that he's a full participant, I think at this point, people are even more confident that he's going to play his first game since week one. What does that do for this offense and the advantage maybe that exists only having three plays on film in 2025 of him?
I think it's huge. I think that you go into the OTAs through the preseason, When you come out healthy, you kind of knew that Rashee Rice and that whole situation was going to unfold similar to what it did. And when you come out of the preseason, you say, you know what, we got that guy healthy, we got that guy healthy, we got this guy healthy, and oh, by the way, we got this diamond in the rough in Tyquan Thornton. I feel like you've probably generated game plans for the ability to stretch the field and to utilize Xavier Worthy. And the one thing I'll say about Xavier is what was most impressive about him last year as a rookie was how quickly he was able to absorb the offense. Think about what we were throwing his way in the first quarter of the season, the first game of the season, and what he was able to do with it. It wasn't about, hey, let's bring him along slowly. It was about, hey, you're smart enough to absorb everything. So we got you going in motion. We got you shovel passes, jet sweeps. We got you running the whirly world motion. We got everything and we're throwing at it, and it didn't look like it overwhelmed him. So to me, the encouraging part of it, not only did it not overwhelm him, but he was able to flourish. 9 touchdowns last year, stretched the field. We saw it in what he was able to do in the Super Bowl against the Chargers early in the season as well. And I wanted to see what that sophomore campaign would look like. What were we going to get with Matt Nagy and Andy Reid having 4, 5, 6 months to generate opportunities to expose Xavier Worthy? And I think we got shortchanged up to this point, obviously, but I like the idea that now that he's healthy, we're going to get a glimpse of what they had in store for us back through June and July and August.
Danny, you've been around a lot of players, so I'm not saying that on paper things can't be fixed. We heard Jeff Schwartz talk about Juwan Taylor's penalty issues. Like, he can fix him. He can line up onside. At this point, Dane, and I start to think it is an unwillingness to fix it, not an ability to do so, if that makes sense. And Andy, I think, all but admitted they're willing to accept the penalties, knowing how good of a pass blocker he is. Do you think that Juwan will ever go about fixing some of the lineup issues, or is he just accepted that the risk is worth it for him, knowing that if they don't call it for him most of the time, he gets the advantage he feels like he might need?
I think it's a mixture, and I'm not trying to dodge the question. I think it's a mixture. Here's the one thing. You guys play cards. I heard you guys talking about ping pong, but you guys have played cards and sure, poker at different times in the past. The first hand, you don't show your tell. The second hand, you don't show your tell. Most good poker players, of what I've heard, are waiting 2, 3, 4 hours into playing poker to recognize tendencies. I feel like Juwan Taylor, like, if he's offsides on the first series, then to me, that's a lack of focus. But everybody goes back to their normal routine, their normal approach. When you start getting a little tired, when the game gets a little longer, when the drives get a little longer, that's when you go back to what's normal for you. And what's normal for him is trying to get that jump. I will contend that more times than not, when he jumps with the ball, and he is just quicker off the ball than everybody else is. So it looks more egregious because he's quicker off the ball. I'm not saying all the time, and I'm definitely not giving him any excuses. But there are times where he's moving with the ball when everybody else is not moving with the ball. Having said that, on the other side, I played with Neil Smith and Derek Thomas. Those guys would get double-digit sacks, and every once in a while they'd be drawn offsides. We take it. When the offense is sputtering and we're not scoring at the clip that we want, I think it's more glaring of an issue. But if we can get to a point where we're scoring in the mid-20s and back up above 30, I don't think anybody's really caring about the 1 or 2 penalties if he's protecting the front side of Patrick Mahomes. It's just when it's going bad or when it seems like it's a negative play that throws us out of field goal range or puts us in a predictable situation, that it kind of opens up everybody's eyes. So if Andy Reid and Matt Nagy and the offensive staff is okay with it, I'm going to trust them. I just like for it to be cleaned up, but I also know that it's a tendency thing. It's one of those things where later in the game, as you get tired, you start to lose focus on specific things, and that's when it happens.
We're talking to Danan Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan. What about what you've seen from Baltimore? You know, they're putting up points. The offense has definitely not been a problem other than Derrick Henry's fumbles in crucial spots. Defensively, though, they've got some major problems there. What are you seeing from Baltimore, where I feel like nationally people are talking like Baltimore's 1-2 and, oh, they'll be fine, they'll be good and all this, and people are way more negative towards Kansas City being a 1-2 team?
It's interesting because I cannot ever think – there's very few organizations in professional football that have an identity that has lasted decades, that lasts year after year, coach to the next coach, quarterback to the next quarterback, leadership to the next leadership. And Baltimore is one of those that when you say Pittsburgh, when you say Baltimore, you speak defense. That's what they've been able to sustain since they came into the league. And to look at their numbers and see them 32nd in the NFL in yards per game, 31st in points per game, 30th in rushing, 31st in passing, like, I feel like we're in the twilight zone, like, to some extent. And it's I'm sure it's definitely something that they are having a tough time digesting in Baltimore. That's just not the Ravens' way. I'm assuming they're going to try to correct it, and they're going to look to this opportunity to change things around defensively. But offensively, I mean, Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jackson. They have some weapons. You can expect Derrick Henry to try to come out and prove that three fumbles in the last three games and costing them two games because of it is not who he wants to be or who he wants to be remembered as in a Ravens uniform. So we're going to have our hands full against their offense, but the defense with their injuries, there's some opportunity for us there. And we cannot allow this game to be close, and in a close game, low scoring, and that plays into their hands. And so we got to open up the gates a little bit, get them in predictable situations, keep Derrick Henry on the sideline so that they're throwing the ball more, and spy Lamar Jackson, and we'll come out with a win. But take advantage of a wounded defense has to be at the forefront of our minds this week.
I thought it was interesting you said there towards the end, Danan. So do you think, maybe I misheard, you think a lower scoring game favors Baltimore more than Kansas City?
I think so, because okay. I think if we're not scoring offensively, we're playing into the confidence build that their defense needs.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? So they've given up, you're talking about yards per play, 5.76 yards per play. They've given up 32 points a game. So if they come in here and we're in the fourth quarter and it's 17-14, like, There's a confidence build in that they can say, you know what, we're finally doing our part. Look at our defense and what we've done in the first 3 weeks. Well, we can look back at specific games. The Giants game was relatively close until the fourth quarter. To some extent, the defense on the sideline could be like, hey, guys, we're doing our part. We gave up 9 points. And there could be a confidence boost in that. And now you're looking at the other side. Now do your part. So I don't want the Ravens to have any of that come Sunday afternoon. I want them to be still questioning the identity of their organization when they leave town about 7:30.
I know that they wanted Christian Fulton to be in the mix in order to allow Trent McDuffie to move around. It feels like anytime Jalen Watson is healthy, I'm reminded, oh, cool, they're fine at corner just as long as he's available. It's when he's not available that they're trying Williams or trying Nazi Johnson and, like, moving things around that make it look like a problem. It seems as simple as when Jalen Watson is healthy, they can stop anybody.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think he's definitely a solid number two corner. He's very physical. He understands the scheme that Spags is trying to play. I like his presence in the blitz game between he and Trent McDuffie. You go back to that Eagles game, and I think I mentioned it last week, when you talk about putting your foot on the gas pedal from the beginning, we had every defensive back blitz in the first series of that game, except for Brian Cook, who was playing center field as a free safety. That tells you about the confidence, but it also tells you about the versatility of guys like Jalen Watson. Now, Christian Fulton is a huge asset because, one, we didn't know what we would have in Noah Williams. We didn't know what a rookie would bring to the table, being isolated man-to-man on an island opposite Trent McDuffie. And he stepped up and he's played well, but he's still a rookie. What Jalen Watson being healthy does, as well as Christian Fulton, if he's able to get back on the field, it allows Trent McDuffie to move inside. And he is one of the more dangerous slot corners slash blitzers in the NFL. But if either of those guys are hurt, now you're relegated to have Trent playing more outside, which takes away that aspect of our defense. Yeah, having Jalen Williams be healthy is great. Having Noah Williams, Jalen Watson being healthy is great. Having Noah Williams be a guy that can be depended on and grow as a rookie. And then if you're able to get Christian Fulton back in the mix, like, that makes our complete defensive backfield very, very formidable, one of the tops in the league.
Danen Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. Of course, you'll hear him on the broadcast this Sunday afternoon as the Chiefs take on the Ravens. Appreciate it, man, and we'll be keeping an eye on your Hawkeyes as well.
Please do. Maybe throw up some prayers, bro. We might need it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.